I'm also very excited about our next guest on the Newsmax hotline is Tom Fitton. He is the president of an incredible organization called Judicial Watch. And I want to talk a little bit about that with him, but he also is a very prolific author. He has another book out coming out October 15th. Hey, Tom, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. It's so great to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Mary. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I got to, full disclosure, I got to work with Tom when I was working in Washington, D.C., and Tom would be in studio with us quite a bit, and I learned so much about Judicial Watch. And I just quickly, before I get to the book, I want to talk about Judicial Watch and the work that you do, because I don't think people really understand what you do. And you are a private organization, but you are run via donations, and you really are trying to hold the government's feet to the fire. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, there are tools available to us as citizens or as activist groups like Judicial Watch to figure out what the government's up to, challenge government misconduct, and essentially just sue the bad guys. And that's what we do. We sue under the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, at the federal level, and the states have their own open records laws to get access to the secrets the government doesn't want us to have. And then when there's misconduct or corruption, you know, sometimes we sue in court to challenge that directly. We've been suing to clean up voter rolls. You know, I only half jokingly say this, whatever you're worried about, we're investigating.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're a great organization, and I highly recommend you consider donating to them, because those FOIA requests and those lawyers are not cheap. So that, keeping the government in line and trying to hold them to account is not an inexpensive venture. And that's one of the things you talk about in this book that's coming out October 15th. It's called Rights and Freedoms in Peril: An Investigative Report on the Left's Attack on America, which I have to say seems to be heating up, Tom. And I don't know if it's just because we're so entrenched in this, we're so steeped in this that we see it more, but it really seems as if the world is spinning faster. And this battle for America has just heated up. And to me, the left is no longer hiding what they're trying to do.
Yeah, it seems to me the left is kind of like running down the middle of the block, just taking things out, and we're not allowed to say, stop, what did you just do here?
Right.
And you're going to do it again? And so, whether it be like the warfare, the lawfare against President Trump, the border invasion, the censorship, you know, the COVID abuses, the cover-up, you know, you name it, and it happens, and then we're all supposed to move on. And, you know, this book shows you why you can't move on, because these are attacks on, you know, not only individual citizens and violations of the rule of law and abuse of power, but they're attacks on our systems, right? Our firewalls in place in our constitutional republic that protect us and preserve our rights and freedoms, as the title highlights. And they want to break all that down. And we highlight how it's being done, and hopefully what can be done to stop it.
And it seems that the left has been playing the long game for a really long time, right? They've been playing this game since the 60s, I think. The whole Cloward Piven strategy of purposely tanking the economy, and it seems as if they're trying to purposely do that. The idea of creating chaos so that we fight with each other, and then the government comes in to save us by taking away our rights, because they have to do that in order to save us, right? So, oh my gosh, they're so benevolent. You've got John Kerry openly talking about the First Amendment being a roadblock to what they want to do, which is why we have to win in order to be able to accomplish what we want to accomplish, very cryptically, whatever that is. Hillary Clinton talking about, you know, we should be able to jail these people for disinformation and misinformation, which I don't know what the difference is. In my world, they're just the same word for lies. Anything that they consider to be lies. You've got Walls talking about getting rid of the Electoral College, so it'd be the majority, a tyranny of the majority. All you've right. got Kamala Harris talking about being able to go into your home without a warrant to see if you have your firearms stashed up properly. They're in the open now. And when I think it's dangerous when they don't care that we see what they want to do.
Yeah, they've gone full communist, right? And, you know, are all of the folks you talked about communists? Of course they're not. but they certainly have embraced that approach, that totalitarianism, you know, that, you know, power matters more than the rules, than the Constitution, than citizens' rights. And that's the challenge we have. And, you know, kind of, you know, we're on the radio right now, right, talking. That's the First Amendment. And I've never seen anything, certainly in my adult lifetime, like we've seen before, and I would argue never in our country's history, has the First Amendment been under such a sustained assault. And it's not just from the government. It's from the private sector, the NGO left. There's a transnational movement as well, where you have other governments, other countries, and we now know, involved in trying to suppress speech. This is a sustained assault. And I don't, and you know, you say, I know there's an election coming up. Will the First Amendment survive the election? I don't know. And I don't mean to say that if Trump wins, the First Amendment's safe. I think the left has abandoned the Constitution. So this is, as you point out, a long ball game. We've got to highlight what they're targeting and what they're tackling so we can play defense or go on offense where appropriate. And the book lays it out.
Exactly. And so let me ask you, this is what we're talking, this attack, and you talk about how they, you said before, they just kind of do what they do, and then they go on even when they're caught in a lie, and then they just act like it never happened. And I played earlier a piece of a editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal calling out Joe Scarborough, saying, you know, in his lies, that saying that Joe Biden was in perfect health and going on and on about Joe Biden. And this was a week or 2 weeks before he dropped out of the race. You know, he was acting like he was totally fine, and they get away with it, and they just move on. As you said, they just move on and it's okay. How important has Elon Musk taking over Twitter been to stopping that takeover of free speech and censorship?
Oh, it's been one of the most significant developments in terms of the advance of the First Amendment and protection of it in modern memory. And would we have lost the First Amendment if Twitter would have been run the way it had been run previously? No. But our free speech rights would have been suppressed. And we now know it was, and they were suppressed, through a collusion with the government. And it didn't start under the Biden administration. It started with the deep staters under the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. So there's this perpetual government that hates citizens. They hate the free exercise of rights by citizens. They resent them. They denigrate them. They demean them. And they think they're better than us. And if you think there's someone, if you think you're better than them, if you think you're better than someone else, or you treat someone else like a child, their rights mean nothing to you. And we see that with them using Twitter previously, and still in some ways using the other big tech platforms to suppress speech. But you know, Musk has had a good effect on the other platforms in the sense that at least they've backed away a bit more. They back further away than they otherwise would have from their censorship mania.
Yeah, you see Zuckerberg sounding almost like he's supporting Trump. It's kind of weird. And I don't know if he sounds that way now because he realizes if Trump gets him in, he's in trouble. So I'm going to go a step further than what you just said, and I'm going to say they hate us. I really, not only do they think they're better than us, I think that there is absolute hatred from the left when it comes to Trump supporters. They absolutely hate us, from Hillary Clinton, from Joe Biden, from Barack Obama, who I'm pretty sure is running the whole show anyway, all the way down to those Harris Walsh supporters in the street. They absolutely hate us because they hate Trump so much. They don't know why, but they've been so steeped in hatred for Trump that it is now projected onto anyone who disagrees with them. And I don't know how you go back on that. I don't know how you put that genie back in the bottle. Can we?
Well, you just have to kind of protect yourself against the abuses that arise from that hatred. And I think that's a fair analysis. And the best indication of that is it's not just like they want to, you know, make sure that our tweets are suppressed. They want to put us in jail. And it's not an idle threat. And it's the natural consequence of a lot of their rhetoric. And in the case of Trump, they've taken steps to make it easier for him to be killed, while inciting the type of hatred that would lead to that consequence. It's a dangerous time for our republic. This is why I think the book is important, if I dare say so, because I think our republic is facing sustained assaults in ways we've never seen before, and we just have to highlight the problems. And I don't want to kind of say, oh, all is lost. Well, all will be lost unless we understand what the problem is, and that we, once we understand what the problem is, well, then we can move to address it in a more aggressive way.
Yeah, and we were just having a discussion about how millions of Christians aren't going to vote because they think Donald Trump abandoned them on abortion. And I'm like, you got to realize there's more at stake here than just abortion. There's so much more. And in the book, Tom talks about the border. You had mentioned briefly lawfare, the January 6th lie. There's so much more in this book. You got to get it. And it's a perfect gift for the holidays for that uncle. You know who I'm talking about, that uncle who just won't listen. It goes on sale October 15th, Rights and Freedoms in Peril, an investigative report on the left's attack on America by Tom Fitton. Tom, I can't wait to get it. Thank you so much for joining me. Keep up the good work. And check out Judicial Watch if you feel moved to donate to them. They are doing such a wonderful job with some sort of accountability, which just doesn't exist in our country anymore. Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you, Mary. Good to talk to you.